Thank you so much, John and Hannah. Wonderful song. We do need to cherish that name. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be in Matthew 1 and 2, and Lord willing, Luke 1 and 2 as well today. No, I'm not going to preach all of that. But I do want us to look at the idea of fear in connection with the Christmas story. We've been studying about fear over the last few months in our Sunday morning series. And we've looked at some definitions and we've looked at character studies and so forth. I remind you that the definitions range from a reverential awe, almost a holy hush of an awe before God, to a terror before Him, which is a proper response at times, to a human fear, just struck with that fear. And what's interesting is we will see all of these played out in this story as it unfolds. Last year, during our adult Christmas party, we looked at the emotions connected to the Christmas story. It was a fascinating and eye-opening study. But one of those emotions is fear that we experience in our lives. This year, we looked at the timing of the events around the Christmas story. No one had heard from God in over 400 years when the angels began to speak. And so these were events that were unusual. No wonder fear would be a part of this story and why so many times the angels said, "Fear not, don't be afraid," and so forth. 9 different times, the words or word fear or some similarity of it is used in this story. As I said, we'll look at Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. And the truth is there's a bunch of, if you will, weird or unusual events that surround this story. There are people having a baby well past childbearing years. There's a woman having a baby who is claiming to still be pure. No immorality involved, but I'm pregnant. There's a husband of this woman that's going to go ahead and marry her because he believes her, which is a little strange as well, just from this human standpoint. There's shepherds seeing angels and talking with them. There's an unusual star that brings wise men to this area to be able to worship the King of the Jews. I would say that there were some things that would cause us to wonder at, cause us to say, wow, or cause us to be in fear. I want us to see this truth as we're going to kind of look at the whole story, and we're really just going to concentrate on the aspects of fear and some principles that we can see out of that. Fear comes naturally. Every one of us at some point or another is going to be afraid naturally. But what we do with that makes a difference. Our fear must cause us to trust God. Our fear should drive us to God. And we'll see that as this unfolds. So Matthew chapter 1, let's begin there. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, here's the first instance, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So Joseph is contemplating what to do with Mary because Mary has told him, from a human standpoint, a totally unbelievable story. Her character speaks one thing, her story, a totally different one. And it's like, what am I going to do with this? And as he's wrestling with what to do, the angel appears to him and says, fear not. Don't be afraid to take Mary unto you. Now, I think it's interesting. The Holy Spirit doesn't say nothing bad's going to happen. Everything in your life's going to go just great. Don't worry about it. No. That's not what he says. But he does remind us, don't fear. don't fear. So I want us to see the first principle today, and that is, don't fear. That is that natural human fear, the tough decisions when God is involved. Don't fear those tough decisions when God is involved. Joseph obeyed God because he believed God. Because otherwise, it was pretty an unbelievable story, wasn't it? Outside of this one instance, no other virgin has conceived. It was gracious of God to confirm Mary's story to him as he wondered what to do, wasn't it? That God came and said, Joseph, she's telling you the truth. What she said is exactly what took place. When tough decisions are based on clear biblical evidence, we can have confidence in our decision. That doesn't mean that it's not a tough decision. And we know from the rest of the Gospels that there was ridicule came. We know some 30 plus years later, people still remember that Jesus was born of fornication, so to speak. So there was certainly ridicule that came with that, but Joseph knew that what he was doing was what God wanted him to do, and so he had confidence in that decision. How do we respond to a command that we know God wants us to do? You're like, well, I mean, of course we obey, do we? You ever heard someone say, if God would just tell me plainly what he wants me to do, I would do it. It's pretty plain. There's a whole lot in here. Listen, I don't have a problem with what I don't understand here. It's what I do understand that I need to obey in Scripture. Okay, the second time we see this idea of fear is found in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. By the way, tomorrow night is supposed to be the best time to see the Christmas star, so to speak, planet alignment. I'm going to try to go see it. You're like, is the Lord coming back tomorrow night? I don't know. But probably not, since that's when you think he's coming back. All right, but anyway, verse 3, and when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Israel with him. There's our word for fear. You could put in here, he was fearful with all Jerusalem with him. Now, that's a good reason to be fearful, because who is born king of the Jews, and Herod was supposed to be king over this region. That would be an opportunity to be afraid. I want us to see this second truth, and that is fear. And this kind of fear is that dread or terror. Fear is possible when you knowingly oppose God or have rejected him. Because that's exactly what Herod has done. He has knowingly opposed God. He has knowingly rejected God. And we will see that played out when he doesn't get his way. He kills innocent babies to make sure he gets what he wants. So yeah, that's a proper kind of fear. Matter of fact, this word troubled specifically means to strike one's spirit with fear or dread. What does that feel like in our lives? You ever had that strike of dread? I remember in high school, I was in a wreck in my daddy's car, and the wreck took place somewhere where I was not supposed to be. And there was no way to get there except to be where I wasn't supposed to be. So I'm driving home. I got a reckless driving ticket because it was my fault. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to say to my dad. Now, the car wasn't hurt. It was one of them old Plymouth boat cars, you know, that was solid steel bumper, had a 444 barrel in it, which was part of my problem. I'm trying to figure out what to say to my dad. And truthfully, I'm pretty scared of that whole scenario. I'm thankful that when I opened the door at home, my dad said, don't open your mouth, I already know. I'm like, that solves one problem. I have to figure out what I'm going to tell him. The guy had called my dad already. By the way, my dad made me stand before the judge by myself. He didn't even go in the courthouse with me. He wanted me to remember. I was 16. Been just a few years ago, and I still remember it worked, right? It was proper for me to have that kind of dread. Why? Because I was wrong. I had disobeyed my dad and was somewhere where I should not have been and got in a wreck. And so, yes, I was scared to come home and tell my dad. Our fear can point to the fact that we are in disobedience to God. Are you afraid? And is this an indication of an area of disobedience in your life? See, Herod was afraid because he had opposed God and would continue to do so. The third truth we see in Matthew as well, in Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse 22 of this text. The Bible says, "And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." The third truth I want us to see this morning is fear. Human fear can cause us to be cautious. The right kind of caution can be used of God for his purposes. In other words, it's appropriate for us to be fearful in some circumstances. If you come face to face with a bear in the wild and you're not afraid, something's wrong with you. How many of you follow Michaela Parsons on her Facebook? Did you see she killed a bear yesterday? Well, somebody in her group did. It's a mammoth bear. And I'm like, wow, they hadn't been members here long. And Michaela was like, "Hey, Pastor, look what I got yesterday." And she showed me a picture of a deer that she took down. Her son was sitting between her legs. She was sitting on the ground and took the deer out. I'm like, yeah, I don't think you ought to mess with Michaela. She looks, you know, like, I'm like, wow. But if a bear is coming towards you and you're not afraid, something's wrong with you. In other words, there should be a natural human fear. But what do we do? Well, we put some cautions in place, don't we? There are some things that we do or that we don't do because there's natural fear that comes, right? There are some things that we will tell our grandkids over the next couple of days, don't do these things because whatever it might be, fill in the blank there, okay? We don't like them playing in the front yard. Well, why? Well, because cars think they can speed up and down that road there, and I'd rather them not be in the road when that happens, right? When they're in the backyard, they're relatively safe back there. That's a rule. You're like, ooh, you're living in fear. Just let them stand in the road. No. There's an element of caution that comes with fear, right? It's a good thing. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." But there's also an irrational fear. Proverbs 22 and verse 13, "The slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." We've got to balance those things. The truth is, you put yourself in danger of driving here this morning. People die every day in car wrecks. It happened this morning to a family we know, okay? So we take some precautions. I recommend you wear a seatbelt. Will it save you in every wreck? No, but it sure will help, okay? I recommend you obey the laws and stay on your own side. Don't cross the center lane. I mean, those are all helpful things. Does that mean you're living in fear? No, you're living in caution. And I think Joseph is afraid of what Archelaus is doing. And God uses that to show him some caution. Hey, wait a minute. That's not a good thing to go flaunting, if you will. And so he ends up there in Nazareth, which was a fulfillment of God's will anyway. So has your caution turned to sin, or are you acting prudently? Boy, that's a real one for us right now, isn't it? Walking the line right now of what is prudence and what is just, and sometimes those are tough things to work through. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. I'm kind of doing these chronologically, not necessarily because they're important, but just kind of flowing through Scripture. So now we jump back a little bit in the story because now we're in the Luke passage. Luke chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." We know that that was the representative of God. "And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." Okay, fourth truth I want us to see about this idea of fear is being in the presence of God should bring fear. In other words, that holy awe. And as far as Zacharias was concerned at this point, this angel was standing in the presence of God. It was good for him to be holy fear at that point. Yet he was encouraged not to fear. You see that? Later on it says, fear not, verse 13. The angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias. Okay, so he had this holy awe, if you will, about the position, but yet from the human side, he should not be terrified of what was taking place. What a scene this was for him. What a verse, right? The proper fear of God and the natural fear for tendencies are all both in this passage of Scripture. Now remember, we've talked about timing and all that kind of stuff. This would have been the first incidences of everything starting. The little ticking of the clock started with this incident. So up to this point, nobody had heard from God in 400 plus years. I said this in a couple of services, but no one knew anyone who knew anyone who knew anyone who knew anyone who'd ever heard from God. There was no experience for this. And now Zacharias, who is performing his priestly duties, is standing before an angel of God in God's place, and it's talking to him. That would produce some fear in us, for sure. But because we know God as Savior, we don't have to be terrified of him. Notice what the angel says in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. I love to think about the human side of Scripture. I wonder how many times he had prayed this. I can't imagine how many times he prayed it. I can tell you that probably for 4 to 5 years, I have prayed at least 5 to 6 days a week for our daughter Rebecca to get pregnant. I would imagine that she has prayed more than that, her and Ben. And if God did not give them a child until they were 90, or whatever age they were in this passage of Scripture, a long time, they were well past childbearing years, how many prayers would have been offered? And how long would it have been since he stopped praying this prayer? I don't know. Maybe he was still praying it. You'd probably think he was crazy if he was still praying it, right, at this point. But it's like, your prayers are heard. Your wife's going to have a baby. There would have been all kinds of things running through our mind, right? But he says, don't worry, don't fear, it's fine. How do you respond in the presence of God itself? Do you go into his presence? Do you actually worship before him? Because that's what Zechariah was doing here. Number 5, fear, a natural human fear, can be present when asked to do what no one will understand. Nobody's going to understand this. Fear not, God says to a young virgin. Look at verse 29 of Luke chapter 1. Let's get a little bit of context here. If you go back to verse 26, it's now the 6th month after Elizabeth is with child. Gabriel appears to a virgin, verse 27 says, verse 28, the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled to strike fear, to be dreadful. That's the idea. No kidding. At his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. We've discussed before that whether Mary fully understood all this meant for her, but either way, we find in this passage of Scripture, though there would be natural fear there, Mary simply says, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. I'll do what he wants me to do. She submitted to God. I am sure that for years she needed this fear not passage over and over and over again. I'm sure as people ridiculed her, as we know they did over and over and over again, she probably remembered these words, "Fear not, Mary. Fear not. Fear not." Mary knew that God had asked her to carry this child and to carry this burden. It would have been natural for her to fear. It's natural there, but fear not comes when you believe God. See, she just simply believed God. Okay, God, whatever you said, that's what I'm going to do. Just as Joseph had done in Matthew chapter 1, she also did. We've talked about this already on a Wednesday night. What incredible characters these two people were. To just say, okay, Lord, that's what you want for us. That's what we're going to do. Though nobody else would understand. Maybe a mom or dad or some friend or whatever would say, okay, bud, I mean, if you want to marry her, I understand. No, you don't understand. God told me to marry her because what she's telling is the truth. You're telling me that she's going to have a child and the child is God? That's what you're telling me? Yeah. God confirmed it to me in a dream. What kind of dreams you been having? If this was your best friend that you knew you could trust and they're looking at you dead in the eyes and saying, I'm serious, you might think, okay, I know this guy hadn't lied to me before, but you walk away going, oh, I just don't know. They would constantly deal with that. See, God may require obedience in us when others will not understand. Matter of fact, they may never understand. Can we obey anyway? Can we say, okay, God, I'm just going to obey, no matter what? See, obedience is always the right thing to do. All the children in here, listen to me very carefully. Obedience is always the right thing to do, but it's not always the easiest thing to do. Did you hear that? There are people out there that want to tell you, you just believe God and everything's going to be just fine. Can I tell you, there are times people obeyed God and it got worse. There are times when people obeyed God and it got them killed. You're like, wow, thanks for the encouragement this morning. I'm just telling you, this is what the Word of God says. It doesn't always work out good, but it's always right. And in eternity, it will be just fine. It'll be more than fine. Number 6. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 50. And I know we're just skimming this story, but I'm just trying to go to the fear passages. This is in the middle of Mary's declaration of who this baby within her really is. It's a fascinating passage of scripture. I love how she opens, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. He's my Savior." But notice verse 50. It says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." This is the proper kind of fear of the Lord. And what is Mary saying here? The proper kind of fear of God brings mercy. Brings mercy. How many of us need mercy? We may not understand it, but we all need it. We need it far more than we can ever imagine that we needed it. Matter of fact, I don't believe any of us will fully understand the mercy that God has extended to us until we get into eternity. But boy, we need it. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. All of us desire mercy, but one of the ways to get this is by having the fear of the Lord. Do you need his mercy? Then have the fear of the Lord. This proper reverential awe. Depending on how Mary is, how old Mary is, we've talked about this as well. Almost all Bible scholars believe she was a teenager, some early teen, some late teen. But I'm going to tell you, she had a theological base that was pretty amazing. as she worked through this passage of Scripture. Number 7, Luke chapter 1, verse 64 and 65. We're now to John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, and John has been born. He names him John, and God loosens his tongue. John, Luke chapter 1, verse 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. So the seventh truth I want us to see this morning is that proper fear, that awe and respect, and yes, a little bit of mixed in with terror, can come when we understand that God is working. In other words, these people, as they stood around, couldn't really get the story from John before, because remember, he comes out of the temple because he questioned God and couldn't talk. All they know is that something miraculous happened, and now they know that Elizabeth is with child, and now Elizabeth has given birth to this child, and they want to name it something else, and they, no, he's going to be named John. Well, wait a minute. Nobody in your family is named John. Give him a piece of paper. His name's going to be John. Boom, God opens his mouth. And all the audience goes with their mouth hung open. There's an awe. There's a what is going on here? What's happening? And then we know that he preaches a pretty amazing message himself in these next few verses. He had doubted God before, and now he declares his praise to God. We can praise God when he's taught us a lesson. He's good to do that. Do you recognize that God is working in your life? Do you praise him during the difficult times? It's pretty easy for us to praise him when things are going well. But during the difficult times, do you realize that Elizabeth had not heard her husband's voice for 9+ months? Maybe he had tried to tell her the story of what happened in the temple, but she really didn't have an idea what's happened. She wouldn't have gotten the full story, and yet these people are used greatly of God. Number 8 truth, Luke chapter 1 and verse 74. Again, in the midst of Zacharias' preaching, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. This is that fear of someone's going to break upon you, or that we're going to be in bondage to other nations. And he says, well, God's going to redeem us, and when he redeems us, we can live without fear. Here's our 8th truth. Proper fear can bring about no need for the wrong kind of fear. In other words, when I truly fear God in its right sense, then I don't have to worry about the other things that could happen to me because I trust God completely. The Jews had endured such persecution, some sure of their own fault, but they just wanted to live in peace. You can see that even today. They don't realize that they've rejected the Prince of Peace. God's peace is the true peace, and he wants to bring that to the entire world. He will one day. But he'd love for us to submit to him today and bring that true peace. True peace will not be achieved until we are with God, but for now, we can rest in his sovereignty, and that should bring a lack of fear. And there's going to be the human side of it. There's going to be the moment that it's going to grip a hold of us, but very quickly, we need to say, God's in control. I can trust him with this decision. I can trust him that this is taking place. I can trust him with this diagnosis. I can trust him with, you're just filling the blank. And therefore, I rest in that. Boy, that's one of that theologically things that are easier talked about than lived, isn't it? The 9th truth. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. And again, we jump into the middle here. This is the shepherds. Now, we've had a series of events that have taken place. We really don't know how many of all the same people were connected to all these. In other words, did these shepherds know about the events that had taken place with Zechariah, Elizabeth, and then Mary? Maybe, but we're just not sure. We just know that over these months now, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 months, these unusual events have happened. Now Jesus is born. In verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. It's a good thing to be. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Now, that's interesting how many times these angels have appeared. It's produced in these people a natural human fear. And then the angel said, wait a minute, don't be afraid. It's okay. But that would be easier said than done, wouldn't it? These shepherds are in this field, and now this angel comes upon them. And the glory of the Lord. Now, just let that sink in for a minute. This is the glory that people could not naturally look upon. The glory of the Lord shone around about him. They were sore afraid. Number 9, fear, that is that natural human fear, comes when something unusual happens. This was an unusual event. They didn't have every night that angels happened to talk to them in the fields. This would have been unusual for them. And it would be a fear, and yet the angel said, don't fear. I don't think any of us would look up at this if we were shepherds and just say, and then go about our business. This would have grabbed our attention, right? Isn't it interesting? How many of you have ever had the privilege of seeing a shooting star? Have you ever done that, okay? Didn't it grab your attention? And how long did it last? A second? 2 seconds? One time, I believe it was, maybe twice, I've seen two of them. Well, that's really unusual for that to happen, okay? It was really cool to watch. But that was, I mean, literally before you can get it out of your mouth, it's over. It's finished. This is, the shepherds are there, and the angels are all about them, and they're talking to them. Wow. And before long, there's going to be a multitude of the heavenly hosts. How many? I don't know. It had been hard to ignore, I can tell you that. Been hard to ignore. A number of weeks ago, it was on a Saturday, I believe, Lisa and I were headed into Shelby. And all of a sudden, just billowing out of the sky was black, thick smoke. Wasn't too far from where your house was, where your house is now. And I said to Lisa, something's up in Shelby. And it just, as we got closer, it got worse. Not only were we getting closer, but come to find out, the fire was getting worse. And she said, where is it? I said, I'm not sure, but my guess would be that scrapyard. Well, that ended up being exactly where it was. And it was hard to not, if you were in Shelby that day, it was impossible not to see. I mean, it was the dominant thing that was happening in the sky, let alone all the fire engines that were coming from everybody's uncle because, you know, volunteer firefighters love to come to a scene. They actually needed to come to this scene, by the way. They were pulling fire. I think they pulled 5 or 6 fire departments before it was said and done with that. But it was hard to ignore. This would have been that kind of event. It would have been hard to ignore. Most of what God wants us to do comes with the potential of fear. It just comes with that. If we stay safe and not out of our comfort zones, then we'll probably not accomplish much for God. There are some things that we'll do that just come naturally to some people. There are other things that will be very unnatural. I love going to the mission field, but almost every time I've taken a trip, and I've taken quite a few, I get on the plane and I think, why did I say I would do this again? Like, where am I sleeping? And for me, honestly, the main thing is, what am I eating? Like, what are they going to put before me? And how sensitive are they to me saying, I really don't want to eat that? You know, like, missionary puts it in front of you, just eat it. Yeah, I've done that and I can do it, but boy, is it miserable. One of the primary reasons I take Lisa on the trip with me is because she plays interference for me. You know, I'm kidding. There's lots of other reasons. I'm just messing with you. Probably my worst trip was she was not there, and some of the things I had to eat were like, wow, I drank a lot of water. Swallowed stuff whole, right? What's my point? The point is God's going to ask us, to do, I can guarantee you, if you want to serve God, he's going to put you in uncomfortable positions. Because for most of us, when we're comfortable, we're not dependent. And he wants us to be dependent on him all the time. God wants us to take on an adventure. Are you willing to trust him? Really, everything comes down to just trusting God. I mean, God is asking the people in this story, for the most part. There were a couple of, Herod was fear because he was rejecting God. But most of the people in this story, God is asking them to do something that has never happened before or since. And it's easy for us to look back and say, would it have ever been cool to be a shepherd in the field? I mean, for the angels to appear to us and we get to go see Jesus when he was in the manger, that would have been cool. I'm not sure that's what they were thinking at the beginning. I'm not sure that Mary was thinking how cool it would be when people were making fun of her, calling her child illegitimate. I don't think she was thinking that was fun at that point. So God is going to make us uncomfortable. We just simply have to trust him. And the fact is, these characters really were no different than you and I. Sometimes we put characteristics in the people in the Bible, we think these characters, boy, they must have been something else. Boy, they must have been really something special. What does James say about Elijah? If we were to put it in modern day English, we'd say he's a man just like you. That's what he was. He's just like the rest of us. And God's going to ask us to do some of these things. They just happen to be, these characters, just happen to be in the greatest story ever told. They did. So therefore, their trust in God was more significant than yours, right? No. Because see, here's the deal. We don't know what story God is telling through our lives. We don't know that. We don't know how significant our story is going to be for an individual person. See, God's the one that's writing our story, and there will be moments of fear that are presented to us, and he says to us, fear not. It's okay. Yes, I've asked you to do X, but I'll be with you, and I'm writing your story. Do I always know what that story is? No. I don't always get to see the ending of it? No, I don't. There are times when I'm like, oh, wow, I don't know. Just share a little bit of a personal thing with us, okay? And this will impact the barracks as well. Many of you know the journey of Ben and Becca. And 2 years ago, she announced she was pregnant and then lost the baby and just the trauma of all that. Then we almost lost her. A lot of people don't know that, but probably 2 days after she lost the baby or so, we almost lost her. Ben just about did not get her to the hospital. And it was a traumatic time for us in general, but matter of fact, Lisa and I were in Florida with Jeremy and Sherry as Jeremy was going through his first week of cancer treatment when all this happened. 2 years later, Lord willing, Wednesday night when you come to church, there'll be two little girls with them. We don't know what all that looks like. We don't know how that story is going to end. We don't know if we even get to keep these little girls. We just know that they're two little girls that have come out of a traumatic home that our two kids get the privilege of loving on for we don't know how long. And the truth is, that's a little scary. We don't know how they're going to react to us. We don't know how they're going to react to the other siblings. We don't know how they're going to react to the other cousins. They're just all of a sudden two brand new girls injected into our family, and we're excited, but there's some fear involved. How is everybody going to react to this, you know? But God's asked us to do this for this time. And the truth is, we're not going to accomplish anything for God if he doesn't ask us to walk through doors that are a little scary. And he just says, I know you're afraid right now. Fear not. I got this. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. And we can trust him no matter what happens. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is really easy to cling to our fear, to hold on to it. It's easy to be comfortable, to be where we want to be, where it's nice to be, where everything is the same. But you don't always ask us to stay comfortable. This was an amazing story. It is the greatest story ever told. But for these characters, they're just human beings in the midst of this incredible story. Some of them, no doubt, would have died before the end of the story was played out on the cross. We know that probably Joseph did and others. And so there was all kinds of things that came. But the bottom line is they just needed to trust what you had told them. We need to trust what you have told us. As we think about the wonderful story of the Christmas story, may we recognize that there's fear here, but that you've said, trust me. And may we do that. And we'll thank you for it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I just ask you a couple of questions here today? You got something going on in your life that's fearful? Maybe God's saying to you, fear not. I know it's unusual. I know this is happening or that's happening or whatever, but God's saying, fear not. I got it under complete control. I know what I'm doing. I'm writing your story just like I've written every other story. I've got this. I think it's good for us to tell him so. Okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're writing my story. And it's going to be a precious story. And God's going to use it in our lives and hearts. Fear, yes. Fear not, yes, God's in control. They're going to begin to quietly play. Can I ask you, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, to stand to your feet? God's worked. Is there a moment in your life where you say, that right there is where I've really struggled with fear? Would you take just a few moments to say, God, today I'm going to tell you I'm not going to fear because I'm going to trust you. Yes, there's a potential of fear here, but I'm just going to trust you.